This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack, and sadly, a firefighter kills one, injures another in Los Angeles County at a fire station shooting. That's a shocker. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope what's happening in your world is much brighter and sunnier. I've seen more smiles, less masks, and a lot of happy people in the good old USA. And to my friends listening in other countries, a big shout out to all of you in the UK and Australia, our friends in Ireland, our friends in Brazil and Italy and France, and we do appreciate all the emails you send and the great support for this show. So, booyah, absolutely. Let's start first with the cyber attack, because this is it, right? It's just the conversation we're all having. Did you see what happened with the Colonial Pipeline? The second it happened, boom, my phone exploded. We had a couple of experts on. We've talked about cybersecurity many, many, many times on this show. And like a Rubik's Cube, we've looked at it from all the angles. It's bad, my friends. But it doesn't take a brilliant mind to realize it. We're vulnerable in lots of different areas. And now it appears that we are in the meat realm. JBS, the world's largest supplier, meat supplier, says it was the target of an organized cyber attack. We've talked about this for the last few days. Their headquarters are in Greeley, Colorado. It affected some of their servers supporting North America and Australia. The company took immediate action. They suspended the affected areas. They notified the proper authorities. And they activated what they call their global network of IT pros. And then they went to a third party to resolve the situation. So, good news is their backup servers weren't effective. That gives you a much better chance. And they're working with a team to restore the systems. They think it'll be up and going by Wednesday. Bad news is the second you put up that flare, cyber attack, meat could be scarce. People run to the stores, and of course, they are buying up all the meat. Not in every grocery store, and it might not be happening in your area, but it's happening in a lot of different areas. It's like what we saw with the Colonial Pipeline. And the fact that when we knew, we're not sure, but they could get restored, and we're working with another party, and then, of course, they paid almost $5 million in ransom to the cyber attackers, and eventually everything got back online. But in the meantime, there was a run on gas. 1,200 gas stations ran out, and others were very, very low. The lines were very, very long because there was panic buying. So I think there's a little bit of panic buying when it comes to the old meat, depending on the particular area where you are and how it's delivered. JBS is a leading processor of beef, pork, and other prepared foods. Now, they are saying that any customer, supplier, or employee, they are unaware that any of their data has been compromised or misused because of it. But it is affecting some of what would happen with deliveries. I mean, they got 84 U.S. spots, and they have other facilities in 20 different countries. So it's going to take a little bit of time to unravel it. That's what happens here. And, of course, Russian hackers, once again, that's where they believe this all started. And this time around, I don't know, what are they going to ask for ransomware for this one? And ultimately, what gets paid? You know, when is enough enough? The hackers are one step ahead, it seems. And there are brilliant people that work in cybersecurity that have, by the way, prevented a lot of things that would blow your mind. Some of them are classified. But there is that vulnerability that just lurks in the air, doesn't it? It's just there. And a good reminder that while individuals aren't necessarily the targets because, hey, you can get much more money from a bigger corporation, so why pick on the little guy? The little guy still is getting hacked. It's a good reminder to check your passwords and change them up and do some things that will protect you with whatever it is that you're using, because let's face it, we're all overexposed, if you will, in the world that we live in today. No doubt about that, right? Speaking of being exposed, you know, there's some huge decisions that are coming up on the Supreme Court and others that are not happening, like Gorsuch, who denied Colorado's church's petition challenging COVID-related restrictions. So, you know, Justice Neil Gorsuch on Tuesday did deny the request from, there was two churches and their pastors. They were pushing against these restrictions that they said treated them less favorably than secular organizations. So unlike other disputes that have drawn close divisions at the court, the Colorado churches took aim sort of at a law that was not specific to the coronavirus, but included other public health disasters like wildfires and earthquakes. Conservative groups that had supported other challenges to state COVID restrictions didn't actually weigh in favor of the churches in Colorado, so that didn't help any. Lawyers for the Colorado governor, Jared Polis, a Democrat, told the justices in court papers that the challenge was neither necessary nor warranted because Colorado had already lifted capacity limitations from houses of worship last December, and they'd also converted some distancing requirements into non-binding guidance. So it was a non-starter. And there was a couple of minutes of arguments, and that was it. Now, in other instances, the Supreme Court has sided with houses of worship. In April, the justices, by a 5-4 margin, blocked California COVID-19 restrictions on religious services. California argued that limits affecting some Bible study sessions did not impinge on religious rights. But this was different. This one absolutely went nowhere. From the sacred to the sinners, or perhaps the sinners. You don't necessarily have to be a sinner to enjoy Las Vegas. I lived there, for goodness sake, once in my life. The countdown is on. There was a giant clock that counted down to 12:01 on Tuesday morning. Crowds cheered, and it is reopened. Downtown Las Vegas for the first time in more than a year. Live music, no masks or social distancing. A big historic night, and they made a big deal of it. There was a Las Vegas band's version of a Foo Fighters song, the first live music there in more than a year. And businesses are now allowed to be open at full capacity, no COVID-19 restrictions. So there are people that are flocking to Vegas, and a lot of people came out for the official opening. Hotels are at 80% occupancy on the weekends now, about 50% on the other days. That's pretty big. Very, 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 very big, I would say. Coming up, This or That, Sir Eric, the technical maestro for the show, joins me next.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world. world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
That means Eric joins us to play the game with us. Eric Salazar, who does a fabulous job on the show. Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm good, Kate. How are you?
I'm pretty good, definitely. But I was just thinking, if this was still the holiday, I could use that beer tap, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, right. So here's my question. It's a light night where you're just going to have fun, hang out. You know, the world's opening back out. You're up, you're with your buddies. But you know, the next day you got to go to work. Is it a two-beer or three-beer night, this or that?
Three-beer.
I like how you sheepishly say that. Three-beer. For me, depending on when I have to get up, oh my gosh, I would say two, but it depends on the beer too. I mean, if it's something heavy, some kind of lager or whatever, then that's a whole different ball game than something light. But you and I both do like beer. I kind of jumped over the fence to beer when I went to Ireland, actually, and toured the Guinness factory, and I kind of jumped to the whole beer thing, and I do something different that sometimes takes people back. I put olives in my beer.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. With certain beers, that works.
It tastes good. There's something about the salt in the olives or something, and then it does something to a little bit to the taste of the beer, so I like it. So if you and I have beers together, don't be taken aback when I put olives in it. Unless it's a lager, that would be weird. I wouldn't do that.
I've heard that with Budweiser.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yep. Like, for me, it'd be like Corona Light or Amstel or one of those. Or Stella Artois. I like a Stella. I like a cold beer. That's the thing. It's got to be cold. Sometimes you go places and you know when it's kind of like lukish warm, like we're all at a fishing tournament and the ice has gone away and there's, you know, just a pile of beer on the beach or something.
Yeah, unless it's supposed to be like cask ales or certain ales are supposed to be a little warmer.
Yeah, then it's a whole different thing. I'm sure people listening to this are really appreciating this conversation that we have all the time about liquor. The world is opening back up. I talked about Vegas. Woohoo! No mask, the whole thing. I used to live in Vegas. And I also grew up near Atlantic City, the two places in the country where, of course, you have legalized gambling and, you know, casinos, etc. There are more casinos in the United States now, riverboats and Indian casinos. But our two big markers still, I think, are Vegas and Atlantic City. So this or that, would you rather go to Vegas in Nevada or go to the East Coast and the Jersey Shore and go to Atlantic City if you were offered a free trip?
That's a tough one. I've never been to Atlantic City, so you know what? I'll go with Atlantic City.
Woohoo! Atlantic City. I grew up 40 minutes from Atlantic City. Atlantic City, called AC, that's what we call it, right? Has a small population, Eric, of like 39,000 plus. And what's cool is the beach is there. So, and not too far, you can go to other areas. They have a thing called the Steel Pier. They have historic lighthouses. They have Lucy the Elephant, which is this historic attraction that's there. And they have the casinos, naturally, that where you have Caesars and you have, you know, a bunch of other casinos that are there.
Wow, I'm sold.
I didn't know.
I thought it was huge. I thought it was bigger than Vegas.
Oh no. That's kind of the draw or the drawback. It depends on how you look at it. The tourists per year is like 20 million, and there's a famous boardwalk that you can walk down in Atlantic City. The last time I was there. Because I used to go home, and I mean, it's 40 minutes from where I grew up, and my mother would tell me when I was a kid, I will kill you if you go near Atlantic City. So I wasn't allowed to go down to Atlantic City then. I don't know why, probably because of gambling or something, I'm not sure. But that wasn't what we did anyway. But like 20 million visitors come a year, and they go down the boardwalk, and it is pretty neat. There's like a piece of my history, I think, because of the Jersey Shore that's attractive to me. And it's just an interesting place, the Borgata, the, you know, that's got a spa and whatnot. And the last time I spoke, I was speaking for a New Jersey, New York Credit Association, and they had me down there, and I was at the Borgata, and it was just gorgeous. It was really fun.
Sweet.
Yeah, sweet. If you go, I'll set you up. I know some people you can see in Atlantic City, let's put it that way. While you are flying to Atlantic City, and let's say you have no choice in magazines, but you can either read a Spider-Man comic or Batman. Which do you choose, this or that? Are you a Spidey guy or a Batman guy?
Another tough one. I'm going to have to go with Spider-Man.
Oh, Batman is me for sure. I love Batman. 6 feet, 11 inches, baby. Batman is a superhero in American comic books by DC. And I love my Batmans. I do. I like the people who have played Batman. The Dark Knight, my favorite, Christian Bale. You could go all the way back to others who have played Batman, but I mean, even George Clooney, but I love Batman. What Batman and Spider-Man have in common is that the franchise, the movies, there's so many of them. Different people have played them because they're so popular. So you really can't go wrong with Spider-Man or Batman. I mean, if you were in Hollywood and you were coming up with, you know, ideas for movies, and we know superheroes are big. Spider-Man is huge because Stan Lee created him, and he did a great job. And there's so many comic books with Spider-Man, just like probably more than Batman, maybe even. And a lot of different people have played Spider-Man. Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, Tom Holland. A lot, yeah.
As far as the movies goes, I didn't really even like the Spider-Man movies that much. I feel like I think I like the concept a little better, or just the... I probably like the comics better.
Yeah, the comics better. And you know what the comics are? The Spider-Man comic books are pretty good. The Mysterio Rush, Spider-Man Hazards at Horizon High. I read the Spider-Man comic books. My brother and I did. So, and they go back, and there are some really good Spider-Man comics. So I might agree with you there. I think the comic books are probably stronger than the Batman comic franchise. For people listening, again, I'm sure they're enthralled by this or that, which we have a lot of fun doing. It's snow skiing or water skiing. You can do either or. It's all paid for, of course, as our little fantasy things are. But what would you rather do? Would you rather go water skiing or would you rather go snow skiing?
Another tough one today. I'll go with water skiing just only because I've never been.
Ooh, water.
I don't really like the water.
So that would be tough for you. Water skiing was invented in 1922. Ralph Samuelson had a pair of boards as skis and a clothesline as the tow rope on Lake Pepin in Lake City, Minnesota. He experimented with different positions on the skis for several days, and then voila, water skiing was officially invented, they say, anyway. I've done both, and water skiing, everybody in my family had to learn to water ski because we were near the water, and my uncle had a boat, and he had a speedboat. And I was scared to death. And what happens is, I mean, and nobody really told me anything. They just, okay, you jump out in the water and they throw you the rope and then they make sure that you have the rope in between the skis and they're going to pull you up. And they jerk that boat so fast. I thought I was like flat out belly flopping. It was scary. And then my uncle, I said, listen, can you just go, I think I was 13, can you just go slow? Just pull me up out of the water slow. No, that's not how we do. Yes, just for me. Can you just pull me up slowly? And he did, and it worked. And then once I got my balance, because you have to find your balance. It's weird. And then once you get your balance, it's really cool.
Nice.
You got to go water skiing.
My brother's been, and says it's really hard.
It is hard. But once you get up a time or two, then you really, really have a lot of fun with it. All right, as always, interesting this or that. Thanks a lot, Eric.
Thank you, Kate.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden was in Tulsa, Oklahoma Tuesday afternoon to pay tribute to the victims of the Tulsa race massacre on the 100th anniversary of the event, becoming the first president to visit Greenwood, the neighborhood where it took place. During his visit, he met with the three known remaining survivors of the massacre and toured the Greenwood Cultural Center.
100 years ago, at this hour, on this first day of June, smoke darkened the Tulsa sky, rising from 35 blocks of Greenwood. In less than 24 hours,
1,100 black homes and businesses were lost.
On May 31st and June 1st, 1921, a white mob attacked the Greenwood neighborhood, known as the Black Wall Street. Hundreds of homes and businesses were destroyed, and at least 300 people were killed. This is USA Radio News. Carnival Cruise Lines have gotten CDC approval to resume operations at three U.S. ports this summer. Lance Pry reports.
Carnival Cruise Lines was given the okay by the CDC to begin sailing from three U.S. ports, the Port of Galveston in Texas, as well as Port of Miami and Port Carnival in Florida, for its return to guest operations this summer. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Disney Cruise Lines have also received CDC approval for a two-day test cruise at the end of June. And Americans hit the road over the Memorial Day weekend, eager to travel as many areas of the country have reopened. The Transportation Security Administration says it screened more than 7 million passengers at the nation's airports from Thursday through Sunday, with Friday being the busiest travel day since the beginning of the pandemic. The travel boom comes as more than half of all Americans have now received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, according to new data from the CDC. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
So excited to bring you Heather James. She is in our virtual green room, and she's joining us from my favorite place, don't tell everyone, Ireland. And her book is so fascinating, because imagine, you know, close your eyes for a second and imagine being with your father and taking a journey with him from London to Bulgaria. So let me repeat that. London to Bulgaria. The name of the book is A Daughter's Journey. The love between a father and a daughter knows no distance. You can get it on Amazon, but let's talk to Heather about this journey. So Heather, thanks for joining us. And what made you decide to write a book about this crazy, funny time you spent with your father?
Well, to start, thank you very much, and it's my pleasure to be on talking to you and your listeners. I hadn't seen my father for 2 years, and he rang me. Well, we spoke very often on the phone, nearly every day, and he told me his plans, what he wanted to do, and he asked me if I would help him and share the journey. Yes, well, of course, my heart and I wanted to do this. This was exciting. I mean, I'm anything for excitement. And I had to get through to my husband, who was very staid and at home. And I said, look, you know, poor dad, you know, I don't want him doing it on his own. I did everything to persuade him. And in the end, he said, I'll think about it. Well, while he was thinking, I phoned my father and said, yes, I'll be there. Book me on the flight. And then my husband then said, go on, it's up to you. I said, great, I've got the flight booked. And went over, met my father, and he said, I parked outside the airport because I can't reverse or turn this box. I don't know how to. I thought, well, I have a horse and a horse box and jeep, and I'm traveling all over Ireland with that. I have no trouble. So I walked out of the airport and across onto the road, and I saw this humongous contraption. It was a massive, big white. It was like a bungalow being towed by this big jeep. My heart. So I thought, and not only that, it was a left-hand drive. In Britain, a left-hand drive. And I didn't want my father to worry, so I just said to him, come on, let's go. But my heart was beating. And I thought, how am I going to get to Dover from here? I've never driven a left-hand drive in Britain or in Ireland before. And this big box behind. Well, I started off and I could feel the pressure on the clutch. But then I thought to myself, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to do it. And I said to my father, I'll get you to Bulgaria safely. And the start of the journey.
Wow. So you set off, you're on this journey, and a lot of funny, interesting things happen to you along the way. And we don't want to give away all the stories, because I think that's the gems in the story that people will pull away, besides the meaning of the connection you had with your father and how important family is in that time together. Yeah. But give us one of the funny things. Give us a story of one of the funny things that happened.
Yes, well, the one I thought was, I mean, it was very scary for me at the time, but when I look back on it, I find it very funny. We kind of got a little bit lost in Italy, and somewhere in Italy, and Dad was saying to me, right, you turn left here, you turn right by there, now you just go around here, we should come out onto the motorway, now you just keep going to left, right, and I followed all his instructions, and the more we traveled, the deeper into the concrete house and estate that we got, and not being used to houses because we were all country folk. And it just seemed to be so overwhelming with the houses. And I went up this narrow street, but then to me it was narrow, but there was cars parked each side of the road. And I had to drive up the narrow path, and I remember I looked up and I thought, we have to turn left. But there was a car parked right at the edge of the top of the road. And I kind of got closer and closer, and I thought, I'm never going to get this whole lot to turn left without bringing the car with us. So I got out. I got to the top of the road. I got out. And I kind of walked around and I looked and I measured with my eyes. And I went, yes, very confident. Ah, I can do that. I can do anything. I'll do that. Jumped back in, pulled away, turned left. And there was a terrible scraping. Oh, I slowed down, stopped, got out. And I could see I'd taken the bumper off a car. The one car that was parked at the top, my heart was pounding. I thought, I was waiting for the police to turn up. And I looked at the car and I thought, ah, this is a scruffy old car. It's dirty. It's old. It's scruffy. They're not going to be missing a bumper. So I jumped in the Jeep and carried on and drove off. But I kept on driving and driving. So I turned anywhere, left, right, anywhere. And I got into this road and a garage facing me now, and I could see one lorry behind it parked up, and I went, that'll do. And I went straight to the garage, round to the back, parked up, hiding right by the wall, jumped out, went into the garage, and I said, excuse me, would you mind if I just park my Jeep and my box behind? I've an awful big journey to do and I'm very tired. And he said, yes, my dear, of course you can. And I went down and I went, right, that's it. So my father was so shocked he couldn't move. He couldn't move out of the Jeep. So that was one of them. And there are many. I mean, there are many other very funny that you look back on and you think, you laugh. And there's tearful times and there's great times. And there's so much in that book. I just didn't realize until I wrote the book how much of an adventure it really was. You have to write it and read it and then think, gee, it was very, very adventurous. There was not a dull moment, not one dull moment, even to go to sleep at night. You wake up, something had happened. It was, yes, I would, if I could turn the clocks back, That's my best book.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to read the story, and I think that there are messages in this. What do you hope people take away from reading your story, this book?
I hope that it will help the relationships between a father and daughter, number one. Because a father and daughter relationship has never really, over the decades, have never really been as close. They want them, but it's never been like a to-do. It's always been mother-daughter, mother-son, father-son, and that's it. But there is a massive emotional relationship between father and daughter. And I think people will, once they read the book, they will realize that there is a very, very close relationship. And it's a very good, it's a good educational relationship, because a father can lead the daughter along life, along the steps of life, to guide them in the right direction, which I think has got lost because of things that have got lost over the past few years between, you know, fathers and daughters. People need to get that connection again and grow up and realize that their father is there to help them and guide them. And my father was a big inspiration to me. And now I've lost him. I miss him badly, absolutely. There's certain things along the day, and I think, oh, I mustn't do that because Dad would, you know, he'd advise me. And I often think, I'd love to ask him now, but I don't need to because I know the answer. Father and daughter, I hope people would really take that on board, read the book, and get the feeling.
Yeah, and I think you definitely get the feeling. You can get it on Amazon, A Daughter's Journey. And I like the other part of this, the love between, as you're saying, a father and daughter knows no distance. And before we wrap this, you've got a sequel coming up, too.
I have, yes. And that, yes, that's another very, very interesting one now. You know, so I can't wait now to get that out. It's going to be a sequel to A Daughter's Journey.
Wow.
Right. So
I just keep thinking in my mind, and I know people that are listening to us are thinking this, in my mind I can really visualize you, as you described it so well, there taking that trip and the shock right in the very, very beginning, realizing what you were going to have to drive from London to Bulgaria.
No, it was very long. And we had a bed and breakfast now and again, but very often we would just say, that's it. And I'd curl up and say, that's it, I'm going to sleep. You know, because, and my father would say, too late, she's asleep. You know, he would say, look, bed and breakfast. I think he would say bed and breakfast, a crossroad, or wherever. Too late. I mean, my coat over my head, and I'm curled up in the driver's seat, and I'm fast asleep.
I love
and
it. Know,
and he knew never to wake me. I wake up on my own.
Right.
Never to wake me.
Let Heather sleep. Well, what a delight to have you on. And Heather, thanks so much for sharing your story.
It's been a pleasure. And thank you for having me on.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Mary Mills joins us from the UK. Her book is called David's Grannies, and David's Grannies is the relationship between David, a young mixed-race boy, and his two grannies, one white and one black. And wait till you hear this story. It's quite interesting. So, Mary, thank you so much for coming on. Tell us more about the story.
David's Grannies is intended to describe the relationship between David, a young mixed-race boy, and his two grannies, one white and one black. One gran is a single grandmother, quite young and modern, and the Jamaican grandmother is more traditional, with children still at home, who has a house full of children where David feels welcome and included. We live in a multicultural society, and it's good to be open and to discuss differences between the races and cultures in a positive way.
Tell everybody your story. Why did you write it?
I wrote it because I think when children are young and they're so open and they come out with all sorts of questions, don't they? If you've got something visual that you can show them and chat about that's based in reality and real experience, then hopefully it'll help them to get the meaning of it, which is that colour doesn't matter. You know, it's the people and the love and the support that you get from that. That's the most important thing, rather than the colour of your skin, I guess, in a nutshell.
Absolutely. But you adopted children. So tell us about your children that you adopted.
Well, they were half West Indian, half Scottish, actually. And they were in a children's home. And my husband and I were desperate for a family. And they were desperate for parents, and we met up and in this home, and we just all clicked. And so they said, "Oh, we want to call you Mum and Dad." And so we went ahead, and it took 5 years before they were legally adopted. They were on long-term foster care until their biological mother freed them to be adopted. And then, you know, we adopted them and brought them up and were very happy for a long time. All the time trying for you know, biological children, but that's never going to happen. Operation after operation.
Wow, but what a great story that you met up, you became a family, and you were a different family, and this is part of the reason we just said for the book, because now we're seeing that in society. That's not taboo. That's something that certainly is happening. And what do you ultimately hope people take away from reading your book?
That all lives matter, and not just black lives matter or white lives matter. You know, I mean, live in a global village, don't we? With people from all backgrounds and colors and cultures and faiths, and we need to be accepting of all of us, because we're all human beings. It doesn't matter what color our shade of skin is.
We do.
I think that's basically it. But to be able to discuss that with young children from an early age, so they grow up thinking that, they might just, it's just sowing seeds of inclusivity. Is that the word?
Inclusivity. No? Yes, absolutely. David's Grannies is a great book, and it's about that. I want to mention your foundation in Uganda. You and I were talking about that off the air. Tell us about Starfish.
Oh, Starfish has just grown. I went out in 1986 to visit a friend, started making lots of Ugandan friends, and one of them was going to work in Ethiopia, and she said, oh, you can come and visit me in Ethiopia. So I went there 5 years later and met her and met a girl I've been sponsoring in Ethiopia, and then I met Moses, who's now become my surrogate son and partner in running Starfish. So it's a long story, but it's been going on for about 25 years, and it's evolved into the Starfish Foundation, whereby we're trying to help the poorest of the poor one by one. And it's wonderful when you can see that you can really make a difference to their lives. And we've got quite a few of our boys are graduating now from university and going to become independent. We've got a lot of disabled children in our clinic. We've got a village clinic that's developed, and there's so many disabled children out in the villages because they don't get antenatal care, and then they've got poor births, lung cerebral palsy, and, you know, it's a bottomless pit, but it takes up most of my time. And I'm here in the UK base now, and because I came back because my sister was sick, and so we felt somebody needed to be here in the UK to help promote it and fundraise and things. And Moses is there in Uganda running the show there, very busy. And we're in daily touch through WhatsApp and everything, and in touch with all of the kids. And
wow.
Wonderful. It's wonderful. But it's my passion. It's a passion for both of us. And yeah.
So how do people find out more about it? Where can we go?
We've got a website. Yeah, that we're developing. It's www.starfishfoundation, I think. But there's quite a lot of people have adopted this Starfish thing.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to get it to get the right one. I've often say is we've got a website, and they said, well, there's lots of Starfishes. At the moment, we're trying to link up with a registered charity in the UK so that can help with the funding, because you have to be registered here. We're registered in Uganda, but this charity that I'm also attached to, called Cherish Fund, has taken us under their umbrella. And so if people give donations through that, then we can get the gift aid, and then we manage it.
But great.
Yeah, it's very involved. Difficult to be in a nutshell.
I like that. So again, Starfish and David's Grannies, Mary Mills, thank you so much.
Yes, I'm writing a book about Starfish as well.
Yeah, we can't wait for that. So thank
you. That's a work in progress. Yeah.
A couple of quick final thoughts here for this show. One, the fact that we have this other cyber attack we've been talking about. When you look at your meat supply, if you're making the rounds and you're shopping, I don't know. If you're a meat eater, you might want to pick up some extra beef, perhaps. Beef and pork could be hit by this major meat producer slammed by that cyber attack that they say is likely from Russia. J. BS is the name of the meat supplier. And when I look at their footprint, to me, it says, you know, you don't want to have panic buying necessarily, but when they're that big of a distributor and you think of how big their operation is, 15 countries, they have customers in 100 countries, their brands, Pilgrims, Great Southern, Aberdeen Black, and of course they're working fast and furiously with incident response teams, Affirm, to restore the systems as soon as they can. But you just got to think when people start to see that, there is that immediate panic sense that, oh boy, I don't know, maybe I better get out there and make sure that we're covered when it comes to meat supplies, you know, for the fam. So I'm just telling you, I bet you that we're going to probably see that. All right, speaking of shortages of a different sort, and we've talked about this a lot on the show, how many jobs there are, millions of vacant jobs. I mean, wow, how hard is it to hire workers right now for certain industries, because we're sort of tipping back into, or tiptoeing, as some would describe, back into life. And a lot of companies can't hire the workers that they need, despite the unemployment numbers in the millions. You know, we're talking about, like, what, 8.1 million job vacancies. And part of that is because of the concentration of the low-wage workforce, so restaurants, warehouses, manufacturers, the service industry. But we need these workers. We need people in those industries desperately. And what is it going to take to get people to want to, you know, come back to work? There are a lot of companies that are offering bonuses and saying if you stay X amount of time, just so people don't apply, get a bonus, stay for a week or two, and then bolt, that they stay a little bit longer than that. So, you know, it's interesting that I'm seeing this everywhere. I absolutely can tell you in my neighborhood and in a radius regionally of where I live, absolutely we are seeing that. But there are a lot of signs up. And there are people that are willing to pay more. There are people that are willing to give those bonuses. So what will it take to get more people to want to get those jobs? And I think some of it is really going to be bonuses, to go back to a warehouse job, to go back to a restaurant job. It's not to say that people haven't done that, but maybe because there are other opportunities, maybe it's because, you know, if they're the essential worker, they're just kind of waiting to see what happens. All right, thanks to all of you for listening to not only my interview with Mary Mills, but, of course, the show. Make it count, everybody. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.